Long, long time ago, a Tuesday in November, when that sinking feeling laid us low, we knew if he had his way, that we'd all live to curse the day when decency received a fatal blow. His bankruptcy's got no attention, pussy grabbing barely mentioned, promising a great wall. He swore to make tax rates fall. I still remember how I tried to have sympathy for his third bride, but something rumbled deep inside the day democracy died. But no, don't let democracy die. He's a famous ignoramus, can't tell truth from a lie. And if he wins, we'll kiss our country goodbye, sing and vote for anyone but this guy. Vote for anyone but this guy. Is Putin the one to blame? 'Cause we all know it was not Ukraine who lost it by 3 million strong. And do you believe the shit he says? Repeat it by Fox talking heads. We're quite amazed they fell for such a con. All the red hats at his rallies cheer, but there must be something in the beer. 'Cause if they had a brain, then they know this man's insane. Well, he was a loser bully by his dad, kept bailing out his debts gone bad. He craved the love he never had the day democracy died. So now we're saying no, don't let democracy die. He's a famous ignoramus, can't tell truth from a lie. And if he wins, we'll kiss our country goodbye. Singing, vote for anyone but this guy. Vote for anyone but this guy. Every 4 years, we all make a choice and try to unite our divided voice. I guess that's how it's always been. Now we find ourselves in this crazy state, in a war to vote for love or hate, and we can't ever let the darkness win. Oh, dictatorship was not our thing, but electors picked a tyrant king, and peaches sure taste sweet. Oh, but now that's all history, 'cause when Moscow Mitch gets on the case, but this guy. Vote for anyone but this guy. Face it, he's just a racist, and white is what he means by greatest. Rich and white is better, yes. A mobster with a crooked past, who launder condos for autocrats, but he can't outrun the bloodhounds on his tracks. 'Cause the time keeps ticking like a fuse. 52% are not amused. Too many to suppress. Oh, what a white house repossessed. Yeah, we know that right is on our side, and soon we'll look back full of pride. Together we can reverse the tide. Now we're singing, no, don't let democracy die.
this guy. Vote for anyone but this guy. In fits of rage, playing the victim well. He cast his creepy spell. And as conspiracies on Facebook flow, you flip the page and just say no, because all the sheep would watch that show and let democracy die. Well, I'm saying no, don't let democracy die. Ignoramus can't tell truth from a lie. And if he wins, we'll kiss our country goodbye. Sing it, vote for anyone but this guy. Vote for anyone but this guy. I met a girl who chose him once. Now she regrets she played the dunce. And she's a leading activist. Went down to the polling place, saw lines for miles, all happy faced, and the crowd there knows who they're not gonna pick. And on the screens the pundits shriek, a slanted poll, an angry tweet, hackers interfering, it's too late for a hearing. Good thing you and I and all our friends now realize our life depends on making sure this madness ends before democracy dies. Yeah, we're all singing, no, don't let democracy die. He's a famous ignoramus, can't tell truth from a lie. And if he wins, we'll kiss our country goodbye. Sing and vote for anyone but this guy. Vote for anyone but this guy. We're all singing, no, don't let democracy die. He's a famous ignoramus, can't tell truth from a lie. And if he wins, we'll kiss our country goodbye. Sing and vote for anyone but this guy.
And that was The Day Democracy Died, sung by the Founders. It's your standard anti-Trump song. But for me, anti-Trump is simply not enough. We had the wars and the immigration policies and the sellout to the insurance companies were all orchestrated by Democrats under Obama and previous sellouts. And similarly, the guy who's the main front-runner, Biden, gave us police state measures in the 90s. Support for the Iraqi war in the next decade, and standard establishment politics, the Tweedledum to the Republican Tweedledee. And I don't think you should be fooled by simply, oh, you've got to vote for this guy because otherwise you get Trump. Nor do I think you should vote for Trump. What should you do? Well, it's what you do every other day than play the voting charade, I think, that makes the difference. And well, you may get some ideas by listening to the show, what I recommend be done locally on some issues. But everyone out there listening has issues of their own that you really have to act directly on. So I understand there's likely to be a city council meeting coming up next Tuesday, albeit one heavily restricted for public health concerns, according to the authorities that are dictating how we are behaving these days. Or, I'm sorry, suggesting under penalty of misdemeanor prosecution where you face a $1,000 fine and 90 days in jail, according to the latest county edict. But there will be, I believe, a city council meeting to perhaps consider an eviction freeze. That's a possibility, although I haven't gotten the word yet from Drew Glover. I'll give him a call now and see if I can get him to respond. I haven't been able to the last three or four calls. He is indeed, looks like, on his way out because of the purchased recall vote from over the hill, essentially to throw out rent control and throw out folks with some not terribly radical revolutionary, but just plain ordinary common decency and health ideas about what to do with homeless sanitation and survival shelter. But let's see if we can reach him. And, you know, I hope you understand. I mean that is, I'm talking about Drew Glover and what he has tried to do, however much he's disappeared from the scene, or at least as I've tried to, but not been able to get responses from him in the last few weeks. So we're ringing him now. And we're likely to get a machine, I'm afraid. But maybe not. Who knows?
Hi, you've reached Drew Glover, Executive Director of Project Pollinate. I'm unfortunately unable to turn to my phone right now, but please leave me your name, number, and a brief message, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks so much, and remember, pollinate your mind.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Drew, I'm recording this live for the net because I'm trying to get some kind of understanding of what's coming up at the next city council meeting. Plus, you have in the past, although not recently, been holding sort of agenda examination sessions on Friday. So please get back to me so that at least I can tell listeners that as an activist, in spite of the bullshit that has been heaped in your direction, you are still responding to your responsibilities as a member of the city council. I don't want to have to deepen my criticism as you are, I think, improperly and much to the detriment of the community sent out the door. So get back to me, 423-4833, and I will pass on what you say on Sunday when I do my broadcast, or if you catch me this afternoon, we can do it today before 6 o'clock. And we'll see if Drew does. So now we return to yesterday's conversations at the town clock, kind of as a part of the series of serial meetings that kind of took the place of the Huff meeting there in order to provide, people were providing food, they were kind of providing information to each other, and here's what happened next. So I'm talking with Thomas again. You've been up and out since about 7:30, is it?
And I had to go to HPHP today to get my results of my blood test that I had last week, and they didn't have waiting room inside. They had it out front today. And
was it raining?
No, but it was freezing. It was freezing cold this morning. And so they called people in, as they usually do, one by one. And then, you know, you can go inside and talk to the nurse or whatever. But the services place next door, somebody said, oh, you got to go there to go to the bathroom. So I go up there.
Talk about the homeless lack of services center.
Yes.
Housing matters.
And it was that to me this morning because I said, I just need to pee. She goes, I know, but there's a waiting line. I said, how long do I got to wait? She goes, I don't know. And so I finally ended up just waiting till I got to see my nurse and using their bathroom in there.
You didn't pee your pants?
Thank God for a change, yeah.
So that has been a problem.
Yeah.
And what is your response other than stealing underwear from the non-existent Sears store?
Right. My response? I don't know. You know, I carry my pee bottle around now, again. like I used to always use when I was camped out, because when you're in a sleeping bag, you don't want to get up in the middle of the cold night to go pee, so you pee in a bottle and then you empty it out in the morning.
Harder if you're a woman, I might point out, Thomas.
Exactly. Thank God. I'm lucky that way, too. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff you got to do just to survive, and you just have to adapt to it. But, you know, honestly, I think we're all better off than the people who have been housed all along, because they're not used to having to survive. For us, it's like, oh, yeah, a virus, okay, well, whatever. I mean, it's like that. It's not that big of a deal.
So you were saying in our previous interview, I think it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to leave it there unless you've come across some other interesting points you want to raise or observations you want to make or things you saw today in the course before you showed up here.
One of my friends in the shelter went to Safeway out by his mom's place in Soquel the other day. And he said it was madhouse. Everybody was grabbing stuff. The shelves were getting all emptied out. Like people are stocking up for, you know, nuclear holocaust or something. Well,
what day was this?
About 3 days ago.
Yeah, there was supposedly a big rush on Friday. Today is Tuesday, so maybe. I was in Trader Joe's on Sunday, and there was almost no lines at all, strangely enough, in the evening.
I was in Trader Joe's, too, the other day, and a lot of their shelves were kind of empty, too.
There were some emptiness in the shelves at Trader Joe's, but mostly either it had been restocked or I came, you know, I don't know, that must have been it, if it had previously been empty. Maybe the reports were exaggerated. That's all I've got. How's the food?
It's excellent. This is one of the most excellent soups ever.
And who supplied it? Is that Food Not Bombs or is that Trader Joe's?
Food Not Bombs. This is Food Not Bombs.
All right. Well, anything else?
No. Stay safe. Stay. Practice good hygiene. Build your immune system.
Keep that in mind, folks, as the clock ticks. Thank you, sir. We've been talking with
Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas.
1 hour ago, Santa Mierda posted, so it looks like the Santa Cruz chapter of the Homeless Grifters Union is planning on burning and looting the local Safeway later today. Nothing screams narcissistic opportunity to grift like a good pandemic. What about don't congregate? Do these assholes not understand? I guess Bad Mom and Keith McMuffin weren't getting enough personal attention at the town clock with their look at me little booth. In these dark and desperate times, please provide me with a ray of sunshine in the form of a Bad Mom mugshot. And one of the comments is by Keith, and he says, please send us your home address. Thanks.
Thank you. And where is this Facebook
That's
post?
Joe Williams, SCCCP, Santa Cruz and Central Coast Politics.
And it looks like more food is being delivered from the Food Not Bombs van. It's now about closing on 1 o'clock as George and Kevin carry it across the street to the the food station at the town clock.
James Weller commented about this and said, what the fuck is wrong with that waste of human potential schlit? Who is that? Schlicht?
Steve Schacht or some such thing?
S-C-H-L-I-C-H-T.
Schlicht. Yeah, I don't...
So full of contempt and hatred. And then John Colby Cohen, you know, says he is an anti-homeless vigilante terrorist narcissistic propagandist.
Yeah, back and forth go the insult.
Yes.
So it's about 1 o'clock here at the town clock on March 18th, and I'm still sitting in my car viewing the scene. And Keith McHenry has arrived with the various buckets of canisters of food, three or four or five, and coffee and goodness knows what else, or something in a big liquid container. And folks are eating, gathering up some clean socks, and he appears to be walking in my direction. It's Keith McHenry who's got his own All right, back away, McHenry. Put on your mask or your history.
How's it going out here?
Well, I don't know. We've been waiting. The president, or I guess the secretary, the treasurer, has not been here, so I can't.
So I just talked to John, and he told me he's very close friends with Martine Bernal.
John's
the bank manager, or maybe president, or some kind of high-ranking person in this bank called Lighthouse Bank. He's a very nice guy, actually. He's super cooperative.
But is he super accurate, of course, is the question.
And so his impression is that Martine Bernal is away at this time.
Away?
Away. Well, there you have it.
Wait a minute. What else is going on as far as porta potties?
Okay, so HPA, the Victor, the doctor at Homeless People's.
And before we hear about Victor, the doctor's report, actually later in the day, Keith McHenry actually ran into Martine Bernal as we were speaking on the phone some hours later. He ran into both Martine and Chief Mills, but not much came of that particular conversation, just to update that.
Health project, try to get portable toilets or just hand washing. And they were told that Martine has ordered, nobody is allowed to rent to anybody. So that's that.
Now, who told you this?
This would be Victor at Homeless People's Healthcare Project.
And how would he know about this?
He offered to get us a bunch of them, and then he called around, and they all told him no.
Do we know when this happened?
And that happened this morning at around 9:30, quarter to 10.
So he attempted to call around 9:30 or 10?
All around. He said he promised we would get them for us, and then about 11 o'clock, he reported that no one will rent to him.
And have you had any other input from other members of the community who might want to take a more direct, peaceful action?
No, no. But, I mean, I've got my ideas. In fact, we may just go do it soon. I need a handcart.
Can you tell these fucking people that don't know the rules some shit? Because this lady...
And that was Keith McHenry. And he's, as you hear, still hale and hearty and... got more punch than I do. Kevin, any comments while you're chewing your gum outside there?
It's like herding cats, man. Real cool cats, but cats nonetheless.
Indeed. Nicely put. I see a number of people I know from the past, QZ. Folks are coming and eating, I guess. Although, what kind of food is there?
There's chai and several kinds of food. And a great big old, what do you call it?
We don't know what kind of food it is, huh?
No, I know what kind of containers it's in because I carried them over from the truck.
And I see Jenna has arrived with her pooch. And some familiar faces. I don't know what else to say except this was the Huff meeting, a sort of Huffish meeting that wasn't. Thank you for... taking charge of the meeting, Kevin.
You bet, anytime.
And doing the rest of the work that you've been doing.
Where's that paper? That
whenever you can, you know, it's cool. If you get, by the way, if you want to hand me one of those flyers, I will be happy to take it with me in spite of its diseased origin. And Kevin was supposed to be chairing the Huff. If there was any kind of a meeting of a combined Huff Union, Food Not Bombs, Nature, it didn't really come about. It was mostly individuals running errands, trying to get things together, serving food, making casual contact. That was yesterday, Wednesday the 18th. I then crossed the street and had some conversation with the folks at the tent city that is threatened with being carried away by the police tomorrow at 10 o'clock, tomorrow being Friday the 20th. And actually, correction, the following few minutes did happen over at the town clock.
Has arrived.
What's the word, Russell?
So from my understanding that they're doing measurements to put up fencing.
That's what I heard,
I don't think that they're allowed to do that. If they're allowed to put up fencing, then we're allowed to put up a porta potty on a portable porta potty, right?
And what Russell, who is Cooper's partner in a tent that's been over there for more than a month on and off, a couple months now, I guess, along with others who are sheltering themselves in place there, as the county is requesting at least of housed people to do. What Russell is talking about is a surveyor who came by earlier that day and was telling them, the folks who were in the tents next to the post office, that they would be fenced off in the next day or two as a... It wasn't quite clear under what authority or for what purpose. Were they, you know, engaging in a construction project? Turns out, of course, that they're simply declaring the whole area a, quote, public nuisance in order to run the homeless out and without providing an alternate place to go. Other than, I think, the existing inadequate shelters that have been proposed and not expanded. And that is what he's talking about.
Sanitation with hand wash and all that.
I would think so, but you know,
they if they could do it, we can do it, right?
Well, they're the city, and you're just a nothing.
Well, you know, to have, you know, a sanitary bathroom, you know, to wash your hands and
makes
all that
sense,
stuff over
it?
Here, since everything is closed, there's nowhere to go to bathroom now, except the parking garages, which is loaded with lines of people, not only customers going, you know, to and from in the parking garage, but the homeless people using it as well. So you got lines after lines waiting for the bathroom. So I'm thinking, you know, we already asked if we could have a porta potty clean station over here. Okay, and they're sitting there balking, you know, which we already have allocated funds to get a porta potty over here, but they won't give us the permission to do it. But the same thing with them, they're not getting permission from the state to put up fencing on a federal easement. So what the hell?
You know, have you told Keith about this? Because I don't think he's heard.
I'm going to go talk to him now.
He's right over there. Tell him.
And this is an argument frequently made by, I've heard by some, well, at least it may have been made a couple of times, that somehow there's already a fence around the post office. This proposed fence is going to be a second larger fence, enclosing the more of the sidewalk area. And presumably to exclude it from homeless people. But the argument that the city can't take action because it's next to a federal post office or can't make arrests, for example, on the post office steps is simply, as far as I know, I don't think it's true. The city has always acted as though it could, and there's never been any, as far as I know, successful challenge to that. Let's hear more.
Still open.
No.
When did they close?
They closed last week. They were supposed to be reopened up this week, but they're not. Well, that was what I understood, and they're not. So they were supposed to be having a special staff training. That's what I was told. So I figured, this is probably they're going to put some new policies in of, you know, sanity.
And what Thomas, who is talking here, I'm not quite sure, we may have missed a bit of what was said. He's talking about the police station's bathroom, which was supposed to be a great substitute for the Loudon Nelson bathroom, which for the last 2 years nearly now has been closed thanks to the no homeless please, but let's not call it anti-homeless policies of Izeth Ray, the supervisor of the Loudon Nelson, backed up by Tony Elliott, the head of the Parks and Rec, and supported by Mayor Justin Cummings, the great liberal progressive who was voted in.
Meditation or whatever, and but they're still not open yet.
And that's Thomas pointing out that the police department bathrooms, well, in his experience recently, have not been available.
And we're talking with?
Thomas.
Of course. You know, I heard the same thing as well, but I'm not quite sure from which of the 12 people I've talked to in the last 5 hours, so I don't know. But yeah, that's what I've also heard.
And see, that's part of this incident right now. When people don't have a place to go, you know, that place provides a great deal of...
He's talking about MH Can, which is closed down.
Grounding, right? Yes. Grounding and like a haven. And now that's shut down. you know, and there's no alternative. There's no, you know, plan B. There's no other place like that. And I've been talking all along, we need more places like that, not just one. We need several. Anyway, so there's a lot of people out here that are a little more extraordinarily off the deep end because of all this. You know, so they're exacerbating the problem.
Yeah, actually. It destabilizes the community.
Yeah. And so then that creates more animosity, more hatred, more fear, more... wipe them out. We don't know what else to do. I don't know. That's my take on it.
It's, I would think, not an inaccurate take.
Are you recording?
Yeah. Report, Kevin, from some questions that I gave you yesterday. Give the questions and give your report.
Yeah, okay. This is Kevin and his report. First one is asking for a phone contact at the town clock. However, most of the people who are working at the... What are we calling the...
I keep forgetting what it is.
It's
a long... It's a survival service, a relief... COVID-19 relief service, something like that.
COVID-19 relief services. Most of the folks who are working here don't have phones. Lucero does, and she's usually pulling the graveyard shift, except that her phone seems to be turned off for the most part. The next item, reports on appearance of stores open or closed downtown. Some stores are trying to stay open. A lot of stores have closed. All the other stores are trending toward closed.
Any main stores that you would want to mention as landmarks that are open or closed?
Yeah, the bakery is going to try and stay open as long as they can.
I understand they're only keeping one store open, and that's the one downtown, and it's going to be for takeout only. Is that wrong?
I have not heard anything to the contrary.
That's what I heard from Keith, I believe, yesterday or this morning. But I could be wrong about that.
They're just going to keep trying to serve bagels until the bitter end.
Well, I heard this morning that yesterday the bakery was open with seating inside, but today they're not.
Well, there you have it. City Hall and its bathrooms were open yesterday. The bathroom at the SoCal Front Street Garage is open. Next question is, St. Francis likely to be open today? No, St. Francis has closed.
So this is the meal. This is the noon meal here, I suppose.
This, I don't know. Well, this is definitely a meal at noon. Whether or not it has become the noon meal, I don't know.
De facto noon meal.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with that.
The Senior Meals on Wheels is still handing out lunches in freezer bags, you know, but they can't even go inside anymore right now.
And let's see, there's a question that says, did Brent serve a meal yesterday outside the Red Church?
He did.
Meaning Monday.
Monday night. He had a big thing of soup and coffee.
But that was not last night. That was Monday night.
Yeah.
And he was serving it up, huh?
Yeah.
Good for him, bragging about it.
With his bandage and all, you know, and he was just like as cheerful as ever. Oh. I couldn't believe it. He's an amazing human being. He really is. I couldn't do that. I mean, he does a lot more than I can only imagine.
He definitely has amazing human being in him.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Let's see here. Checking on Tent City events at the post office with Cooper. No, I don't have much news from there. And then there's the question about whether or not we should have a meeting today at noon. Yeah, sounds good.
So to speak, yeah.
Yeah.
And that is a report from?
Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Die, die, coronavirus. told we can't. At break of day, the news tells me it just keeps on spreading. I gotta make sure I'm not touching the knob on my door. Damn social distance. I keep running out of Purell. I sure hope they make more.
That was a rather weak second song by the Founders, the coronavirus song. Apparently a number of songs have come out about the coronavirus. Hopefully some of them are going to be a little peppier and punchier and sharper than that one. And we'll see as we go through this period ahead. So we continue to follow the adventures of Keith McHenry in search of the elusive porta-potties and bathrooms and Martine Bernal and someone who can help. Here's a phone conversation that happened later yesterday.
Anyway, I went to a county building and stuff. I'm still trying to get toilets and hand wash. So many people came here freaked out. There's no toilets.
Right.
And I tried to talk to Carlos. He was uninterested.
Carlos being
the county manager.
Okay.
And Posner said that that Bernal is here, but we don't find him anywhere.
Hmm.
And then at the there's the chief of police. And then it'd be interesting to see. Oh, there's Mark Bernal right now. Okay.
You want to go talk to him? I'll record it here. Leave your phone on. But no recording happened, and apparently Keith got no satisfaction in terms of an actual specific response from Bernal about when porta-potties will be set up. Though, again, if Justin Cummings' letter is accurate, there presumably are a few more. It doesn't look like there are many more, but a few more porta-potties than had previously been offered. Late in coming, I gotta say, but we'll see what whether they are where they're supposed to be, and whether they're being cleaned as regularly as they should be, and also, of course, the key issue of what's going to happen with the many, many homeless people outside who are, if this experience of the upcoming eviction of the post office encampment is any example, is going to be none too pleasant a ride. So later that day, Keith and others met at the Safeway. They'd given Martine Bertal, the city manager, till 5 o'clock as a deadline to provide the porta potties and the toilet activity and the hand washing stations. And otherwise, another response would have to be taken. And again, as you may have heard earlier, anti-homeless activists, as I like to call them, people very hostile towards activists like Alicia Kuhl of the Homeless Union and Keith McHenry of Food Now Bombs, probably toward me as well, were claiming that Keith, Alicia, and others were meeting at the Safeway parking lot in order to plan to either loot the Safeway or burn it down or some such things, which it doesn't sound like them, actually. But I think they were looking for some kind of a response to the inaction of the city in the middle of a health crisis, as it particularly impacts homeless people. Anyway, here's some of the conversation I had with Kevin on the phone, who was at that meeting. I'm going to record some of what you're telling me. I think, is that okay with you? Are you good with that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'm on the line with Kevin here at the Safeway about 5 o'clock on Mission Street. What's happening, Kevin?
Well, there was a sudden flood of little police SUVs in this parking lot right at 5 o'clock.
How many police SUVs?
I think there are 4 of them.
How many cops?
They just kind of swarmed the parking lot, and now they've left. Nope, they haven't all left. There's one over there.
Uh-huh. And
so I just thought that was interesting because our meeting time was 5 o'clock.
And anybody else other than the police SUVs there?
Oh yeah, it's a huge parking lot in front of the West Side Safeway.
And how are
there's Keith.
Yeah, I was just talking to Keith on the phone. How long have you been there?
No, Keith is fighting with one of the cops.
Tell me if you need a toilet.
Right on, brother. Keith has arrived.
And what, by fight?
And then there were 2.
Say that again?
And then there were 2.
I see, so it's just you and Keith?
Yeah, you want me to put you on FaceTime? How do you do FaceTime? FaceTime Robert in.
Oh, really? Can you? I can't know if this does FaceTime on this phone.
What are we doing? I'm talking on our phone. Oh, okay. I gotta get off the phone.
Okay.
Otherwise, I can't participate in whatever it is we're doing.
All right, so you get into it, and we'll talk to you later, man. And here's a little of the subsequent conversation. This is Keith's voice at this meeting of a number of activists at the Safeway parking lot, heavily surveilled by police, it apparently turned out to be. Go ahead.
And they say it's much better than being outside. It's to have those 20 people go to the armory, and they could be in a tent. Yeah, they don't have any idea about that. Then they're also not responsible for anything to do with the toilets being blocked. They've never said anything to...
This is Keith reciting what he heard from either Bernal or Mills.
Anybody. But HPHP this morning, the doctor, Victor, whatever his last name is, he called around trying to get just hand washing stations. No toilets even. Couldn't get anything. He was told that the city wouldn't let him place any toilets out there. So I just talked to Ace again just now, and Ace said that...
And of course, it's increasingly, it was increasingly hard to hear this dialogue or discussion. So what we're going to turn eventually, I think what I'm going to do is turn to the next day's conversation I had with Alicia Kuhl, who was present for this discussion and was also the next day serving food. In fact, I'll turn to that dialogue immediately, though it was the last conversation I had of the day, which was earlier today as I do this recording on Thursday the 19th, where I checked out the situation at the town clock, did a little help in moving stuff across the street, and interviewed a few folks here and there. But here was Alicia's account.
With Alicia here down at the, what are we calling this new Scope Park site?
This is our COVID-19 Emergency Response Center.
And how many pizzas have you gone through so far?
14.
And how many you got left?
God bless you too.
None.
Oh boy. And are people still coming?
Yes.
Looking for food. Now, I understand Joseph Schultz has left off some food.
Yes, some beans, some hot beans, and I'm not sure what the other dish is.
But it is available for people to eat down here at Scope. And you haven't been told, you're in the vegetation, you're in the area that's supposed to be cleared, you're, et cetera.
Not yet.
Dig it. You know what people are planning to do with the encampment across the street when they tell them to move at 10 a.m. tomorrow?
Nope, I have no idea. I think people should stand their ground until motel vouchers are offered, but, you know, that's just my, what I think should happen, but it's up to each individual what they do. And I don't know, there's not really anywhere to go except another place to get told to move along, so, I mean, I don't know.
Now, yesterday you were at a, you went to the Safeway to chat with some folks and got an unexpected, should we say, a police escort?
Stupid and ridiculous.
What was that about?
We went to have a meeting there. Keith advertised, come and get some housing, come talk about getting housing. The city's not providing anything. So we all met at Safeway. We were like...
In the parking lot.
In the parking lot. We were basically surrounded by police who proceeded to get together tactical gear and stare at us. So we said, all right, well, let's just move this meeting down the street to Garfield Park. They followed us.
They like you.
So we just had our meeting there, and then we left. And then later on, I went to Panda Express. Angel went to the Safeway, too, to get something. They told Angel, the two security guards told Angel he couldn't be there because we were talking to the guy who threatened to burn down Safeway or threatened Safeway or something like that. And then so I was like, I don't know. Angel called me. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, but I had to go get some food, so I went to Panda Express. And he went in, the security guard went into Panda Express and told Eric and the people working at Panda Express that...
Is another Eric? Or
no.
This is your Eric.
That Angel and I were not allowed to buy anything from the establishments there.
And what was the response of the establishment?
They just were looking at the guy like he was crazy and continued to serve us.
Mm-hmm. So, the latest gambit of...
And Eric had already paid for his food, so what are they going to do?
Call the police, of course. The police were in the neighborhood.
We were okay with that because we were demanding to know why we weren't allowed on Safeway property. Like, there, you can't just ban someone for no damn reason.
Now, is it true that on Facebook there were some who felt that you were about to come and burn down Safeway or loot it or some weird...
I was trying to get to the source of this alleged, like, rumor wherever this information came from. It looks like Santa Mierda... posted something like, oh, look, Keith McHenry is probably going to go burn down Safeway now and loot it with all his grifters or something like that. Some sort of post along the lines of that. And so it's my understanding maybe they were responding to that. I don't know. Because for the police officer to have, or for the security guard to have said that means that the police must have told them someone in our group did that, which was, it's all fabrication. So I don't understand any of this. Since when do they entertain these, like, crazy thoughts that people have in such a manner as to go and suit up with tactical gear and follow people around? Like, they didn't even have any evidence because we never said that. If they had traced it back to the original posting, they would have seen that this is just some crap someone said about us.
Well... what's happening now? I understand. I mean, has there been any forward movement? I know you and Martine Bernal are best of friends. Has there been any...
I don't even know where that guy is. We're waiting to hear, like, on the ground level, no one's heard anything. Everyone would like to know where the increased sanitation services are, where are the bathrooms, can we get some damn motel vouchers? And meanwhile, one of the porta-potties burnt down yesterday.
I heard about that. Now, I also know that... as I think I may have mentioned, so I noticed as I was driving down here that the 1220 River Street area has about six porta potties behind the fence, and one in front of the fence on the what would be the sidewalk if there were a sidewalk, and also there's a hand washing station in front of 115 Coral Street, but no porta potties, and you can't get into the Coral Street, according to Patrick, who we just interviewed, who's in one of the encampments out there.
Well, you can't get in without an ID.
Unless you have a Unity card, as they call it.
Oh, well, and it apparently a Unity card, but I know that you have to have an ID, you have to identify yourself. You can't just walk in there and use the restroom. And I don't know if it's 24 hours. I believe it's only between the hours that the Housing Matters is open.
I think you're probably right on that one, but I'm not sure. Any other reports from shelter? You're with the Union of the Homeless, and you've been regularly, you've had some contacts with people inside shelters, like Paige Smith, Paul Lee, Laurel Street, and the Armory. Any comments on any of that?
Somebody should come down and just...
I have contact. I talked to Crystal yesterday, but I need to talk to her some more, so I don't really have a lot of details as to what's going on there.
I know Keith is very concerned about immediately establishing access to motels, vacant buildings, and other places where people can self-isolate if they want to, or at least get access to running water.
It's extremely important. I know out of desperation in Los Angeles, homeless individuals and families have taken over 12 vacant homes already now out of desperation because they're not answering, you know, the calls for help from the community. That could happen here.
How'd they find the vacant
home? You know, I hate for things to get that desperate, but at on another level, people also need to self-isolate right now, and they need sanitation services to do that. And that right there is a preventative measure that could potentially cut down the spread of this virus and save lives. Why that's not being offered immediately, and everybody's worried about money and all this other crap, is beyond me. We need to worry about the spread of this illness and saving lives right now, not money.
Well, I know that tomorrow is going to be an issue for at least 10 or 20 people living in the many tents along the post office area, because I guess yesterday they announced they were going to fence off the area, and then of course they posted today notices that they're going to abate the encampment both there at the post office and here where you're, you know, where you're set up, you know, at Scope Park.
I don't know. Basically, the city continues to, instead of helping us, interfere with our efforts. I mean, it's a lot to move our emergency center back and forth, back and forth. It's a lot for people to move around. You know, instead of supporting or offering an additional service or a, I don't know, in place of this, their own service, they're offering nothing, and they just want to, like, make our jobs harder, you know, push us around and make serving the community even more difficult for us. So I don't really get it. I probably never will. It's tiring.
You're here. I'm wondering, but particularly difficult for the people who are outside in that encampment. I know you were a part of an encampment or supportive of an encampment, the Desiree Quintero Memorial Phoenix Camp, which was set upon by police 5 days after it was established. These folks have been there and fairly clean, too, as I understand it. After some, I think there was some one cleanup here. It is being, it's their claim it's being removed without any kind of public hearing or finding that I'm aware of. And the question is, where are they going to go? Do you have, you were suggesting that they hold fast in place, which means it may mean...
If they're not violating the health and safety codes, they have no reason to abate the camp, and it's a violation of Martin versus Boise. They have every right to stay where they are.
And the question is then, of course, what they're likely to face.
That's the law. That is the law. I'm just a messenger here.
Are homeless advocates prepared to support them is the question, given the crisis where people are afraid to be closer than 6 feet from each other, with the exception of some very courageous homeless activists.
I mean, people should be following the recommendations as much as they are able to, even though the city is not supportive.
I'm going to leave it there so you guys can get your water pickup. We've been talking with
Alicia Cool.
Thanks, Alicia.
Welcome.
With Alicia.
And we now skip back to a little earlier in the afternoon when I arrived at this town clock in Camden right before it was moving from the town clock to the Scope Park area right across the street.
It is around 10 after 1. I'm here at the town clock on March 19th, Thursday. The encampment, I say the food serving area that... was at the town clock, is now moving across the street to Scope Park after a notice to vacate encampment has been posted. Keith and a crew, about six of us, actually have lended a small hand here,
are moving the entire establishment over there, even though the actual notice to vacate says posted today at 11 a.m. Targets the sidewalk adjacent to the post office as well as Town Clock Park and Scope Park. City of Santa Cruz has declared an emergency due to the current COVID-19. Thank you very much.
Good, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, you got to move a little more slowly than usual. I'm a weary guy. This is at the Demonstration Garden Scope Park. Area closed, keep off landscaping. And the two canopies and four Huna Bombs Homeless Union tables are right along the side of the sidewalk at where we're being set up. It is being set up along with chairs, yellow buckets full of cups, the Santa Cruz Homeless Union banner, and the Food Not Bombs banner. Keith McHenry, Scope Park is being declared a no-go zone. What do you expect is going to happen here?
We have no idea. We don't care. We're busy.
Yeah? You notice I'm helping you here, Keith McHenry, I hope.
Great. That's very good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I've got to keep busy because I've got a truckload of food to move. I've got food to pick up. I've got this to set up.
You're doing a lot of things.
Many things. Of course, you should.
Hey, QZ. What's happening? Say that again, QZ.
Well, it's Robert. Introduce. Like, Robert, I'm talking to QZ. Say that.
I am talking to QZ.
Robert, I just want to tell you that I think I'm probably the happiest guy on the planet because all this stuff, it doesn't affect me one bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
QZ is a food server from way back. He served with Sean Alimi at Feed the People way back in the 90s when he was, he and Food Not Bombs were two different sort of rival organizations that were feeding people on Pacific Avenue to the chagrin of the merchants and harassed by police, but continue their work.
Hey, Kevin.
It's about 1:20. Most of the Food Not Bombs tables and buckets and containers, water, chairs, stove, everything has been moved across the street to the Scope Park area, the edge of the Scope Park. Food Not Bomb sign has been placed strategically on the electrical meter. And I'm going over to check out the encampment.
Last night.
Say that again, Jennifer.
Jennifer Honiter.
Jennifer, you were at the armory last night?
Yes.
And how was that?
It was okay. People were kind of a little bit noisy, making jokes and things, but it was hard for me to sleep a little bit, but I think because it was a new place for me. I'm waiting for my tent, my sleeping bag, and then I'm going to be right here. Because I can't handle people that are on methamphetamine and cocaine and say bad jokes.
And the bad jokes.
They're not funny.
How long were you up there for?
All night until early morning, and then they brought me back here, and then I don't know. I believe I'm going to go back.
Now, have you been in Santa Cruz a while?
Yeah, over a year and a half. The police stole everything from me.
When?
About 6 months ago. No. When was it? You need to change the Forest Ranger school. I was resting in Garfield Park over on the west side. They came and say, you need to pay your tags. I say, okay, I'm going to. And they go, okay. And then they're laughing, right? I pay my tags. I get everything straight. And then they steal my car away from me.
What was the pretext they used?
Nothing. Huh. It disappeared on me. They said I was crazy. Now, I reported a crime. I reported my ex-boyfriend. He lied. He cheated. He was using methamphetamine and cocaine. As soon as I found out, I left.
And what have you been doing since in the last 6 months?
Trying to get it all back together.
Where have you been?
At the Salvation Army. I was sexually harassed. I left.
When was that?
Just the other night. His name is Jeremy. I don't know what his last name is. I'm going to find out and sue.
Now, is he an employee? Or?
Yes, he is. He's an assistant supervisor. I'm trying to find out his last name so I can sue him for all the lies he told.
And what was the particular difference that you had with him?
He was putting me with women that were obviously 5150s that needed better drugs. I don't know what the problem was because I don't deal with that. But they were calling me a whore when I had done nothing. And then he said I was fighting with them and he kicked me out for 5 days. I had to go over to the west side and hide out for 5 days and stay away from bad people.
And what did you do after that?
I came back, and I rode the bus. I got some money from a friend. I stayed with a friend. I stayed safe. I stayed away from everybody, and I waited for the smoke to clear, and then I came back.
And you're planning to be here tonight?
Yes.
You know, they're planning to move this encampment tomorrow. You know about that?
I'm not staying here. I will probably go back to the armory.
Right, but tomorrow, this area, they're saying, is going to be fenced off.
Oh, well, that is a problem. Yeah. What about our mail? What about everything that we need?
You got the right questions, and I don't have the answers.
I think in about 2 weeks, everything will go away. We need to wash our hands for 20 seconds with good soap and the stuff that gets rid of all of it, all of it. You know, you have your rubbing alcohol, have your face mask, stay away from each other, do not fight. Don't.
See, you have a mask yourself.
I have a mask, I have gloves, I pick up the trash on the street, I look at people and I observe what is going on around me before I make a decision.
And again, we've been talking with?
My name's Jennifer Honiter. I'm from San Diego. I'm going to write a book on all of this.
Fair enough, and thank you, Jennifer. Should be on if you want to
it's
say.
It's going to go on the radio, it's good.
Well, it'll be on the net.
Oh, the internet is cool. Everybody.
It's not obligatory. You don't have to.
You don't have to.
Maybe in a little bit we can.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
One would just shut up when the law shows up and the news showed up. It would be fine. Do you know why? If you all shut up, you can just stand down and stay where you are. I am Clara Bird's niece. And Rose Byrd, Ninth Circuit Supreme Court Justice, State of California's great-granddaughter. Linda Haas's daughter, James Alvin Nesbitt Sr.'s daughter, Selena Louise Nesbitt. And my son's name is Callison. If you all would just stand down and keep your mouth shut when the news shows up, it will be fine. You don't have to move. This land is your land. Shit is out the window. Nesbitt out. That's NESBITTHAAS and BIRD. And BYRD, blood, you know, blood. Grandfathered in, grandmothered in.
Thank you very much, babe. And good luck to you, babe.
Good luck to them.
Yeah. Anything happening here aside from the eviction notice? So what's happening here? I haven't talked to you for a while.
What's happening here? Is they're violating federal emergency orders, obviously. We just loaded up a truck full of food for Food Not Bombs that apparently was USDA emergency ration type food. Earlier today, I noticed that someone had burned the porta potty at Lincoln Street by the farmer's market. It wasn't a crack pipe. The whole thing burned. Toilet paper didn't do that. That was done with some sort of flammable accelerant or something like that. Later on, as I rode around the corner, and you might actually know these two guys. You know these guys with the shit-eating grins? They were talking to the cops and then just walked down Pacific and away like nothing was going on. I recognize the guy on the right. These guys are Take Back Santa Cruz.
And about what time did you observe this?
Well, let's see what time I took the picture. Hang on. The picture was taken today at 9:10 a.m.
And do we know what time it was set on fire.
It happened probably at 8:30 or a quarter nine or something.
It was still warm?
Oh, yeah. It looked like...
Still smoking?
Yeah, I watched him put it out. Hang on. I got to get there. Torched. In a town where there's already a shortage of public toilets. There's only two public toilets available downtown for all the people that are stuck out. And they're overcrowded. And yeah, you have the drug users that want to still camp in them and things like that. So it's a medical emergency. I went to use one of the public bathrooms earlier, and there was no toilet paper. I went to use the other public bathroom. There was no toilet paper.
The porta potties or the public bathrooms?
No, these are public bathrooms. And I think we should start shitting on city council steps or the city manager's steps.
Yeah, now that's a shit-in has actually been proposed by some folks.
They'd get us for biological warfare if we did that, even though they're committing warfare on us.
Gifts in kind?
Oh, no. Welcome to class warfare. Every time I look out a coffee shop window for the last 20 years here, I said, I'm looking at class war. Well, they just accelerated it. They're using an emergency, a medical emergency, as an excuse to isolate and scatter their homeless people. And the idea of scattering a bunch of people that could be asymptomatic carriers, someone actually said that about the homeless. I heard someone say that about a child. That they're, if you don't have it, you're an asymptomatic carrier. They have the panic level nationwide up to a point that I'm expecting the first public stoning of someone that coughs.
And we've been talking with
Razor.
Thanks, Razor. Doubt, Razor, that Jennifer, who's the one who's screaming, is was doing something similar. You can hear her in the background.
Yeah. I want to point out that while all the cops were here, she was screaming at the top of her lungs. She's hoarse now. She's been screaming at the top of her lungs for the last 3 hours, harassing emergency workers at Food Not Bombs and things like that. And the whole time the police were here, they did nothing to attempt to control her or find out what her problem was either. They like it like that because they can perception manage. They can perception manage it to make it seem like something's going on and they need more cops. I also want to point out that there are no emergency services going on here at all. They spent all their emergency service money on $250,000 worth of tasers.
Thanks again, Razor. We're at the Cooper encampment. Any prospects of where you guys are going to go next?
No, we haven't. They weren't going to. They're going to supposedly tell us tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Well, you get it. What, and you have 1 hour to move after that point?
I don't know. You really say.
I mean, there's a notice being posted all over the place. Well, in several places.
I've got a notice here. You want to see it?
I have it.
Oh, you got it, okay.
So I'm just wondering, if they're going to tell you at 9, they say you got to be gone by 10.
Yeah, well, I don't know if these guys are going
to. Expect you to be fast workers.
I know, right. Well, I'm getting everything packed up right now as much as I can. So I'll probably end up on Pacific Avenue down here somewhere.
This will be your, what, or even longer because you went across the street for a while.
Too. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Right. Right, exactly.
Anything else that's happened, Robert, you want to comment on?
No, actually, everything's good with me, actually. You know.
Thank you, man.
But they don't want the people here. But they haven't really given us a place really where to go. And for a while there, they told us we can go to the county. We went to the county, and as soon as we got there, they threw us out.
You mean my whole fucking
the sheriff showed up.
I'm a Native American. I'm not a cop.
I heard some of that.
Yeah, so.
Thanks, Robert.
You're welcome.
And Robert, you may remember from previous broadcasts, who's been part of the Cooper encampment both there and in the moves back and forth to and from the post office sidewalk, and earlier at Washington Street, had all his property taken by the police in Parks and Rec and never returned. At least as of 4 days before, it had not been returned. Robert is blind and in his 80s, at least his 70s. I think it's his 80s, but I'm not sure.
No, sir.
What do you plan on doing by 10, at 10 o'clock tomorrow?
Maybe helping this guy out. He's got an infirm leg.
In your tent?
I don't have one.
You're an outdoor sleeper.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Octavio.
How long you been here for?
About 2 nights.
And where from?
North Carolina.
Recently?
Yeah.
Welcome to town.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add?
Have a nice day.
You too, man.
Any reports?
Food Not Bombs table at the Scope Park location, and Alicia is serving pizza.
I love you.
And Greta is eating pizza.
She's feeding the people.
And you're eating. You're one of the people.
Amen.
Get the pizza.
I bought it from Little Caesars with a union donation.
And how much did all this cost you?
$96, and I have a receipt.
And how many pizzas did you get?
14.
And how many are gone?
Two and... almost three.
How come there's no Hawaiian pizza?
It means there's 11 pizzas left for the whole town. You're going to take them.
I'm not going to eat. I'm going to go on a fast.
I got enough for me right here. He's got enough for him.
Here, Elise, take her.
I might want more. I'll come back.
A lot of people with some mental issues.
Elise,
have a very hard time under
take her this.
Are you wanting to do this? Is it water too?
Yeah, do the phone call and come back later.
I'll do it. I'll take it to her. Okay, she's going to take it to her.